This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, these home struggles are hard to fathom. Even bad teams tend to play around 500 baseball at home.
Yeah.
Padres are 6-12 at Petco Park this season. They are 1-10 in night games at Petco Park. Even with all the bad teams in baseball, you know the only team that has a worse home record than the San Diego Padres?
The White Sox.
Miami Marlins.
My beloved.
2-15.
Whew.
They are not playing well at home this year. That's tough to swallow, especially for home fans who are packing Petco Park. You kind of understand it in Miami. That place is usually empty. You'd understand it in Oakland. You'd understand it on the south side where fans aren't showing up. But it's hard to fathom at Petco Park where you're among the leaders in attendance, home percentage of your ballpark filled every single game, and you just have not played anywhere near good baseball.
1-10
at your own ballpark
is what's staggering. Most games are at night.
Yeah,
I would understand if they had a weird record with day games. Yeah, you're used to playing at night. Shadows maybe,
whatever.
Getting a ball lost in the sun, but to basically, with the exception of the 8-run. You know, miraculous, once every 10-year type comeback, you haven't won a game at night in your home stadium.
Yeah. White Sox are 5-10, so same winning percentage at home, second worst in baseball, tied with the Padres.
Is that this year's can't get a four-game winning streak, can't win a series type thing?
Yeah.
This year's bugaboo?
Win a night game, can't win more than three in a row. You know, these are problems that have plagued this team for a couple years now.
We're going to play Take on Woods in a few minutes, but if you want to call, we're taking phone calls this morning from Padres fans. 833-288-0973. Paul is on the line. Paul, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
Well, you know, I've been a fan for a long time. I watched Dave Winfield throw him out from the friggin' against the wall, and the run was on third. I've been with the Padres for a long, long time, and you know what? All you can do to be a Friar faithful is just have faith that they're going to come together. Because we got nothing but pros. We got the best of the best. All right? We got a manager that is an unbelievable man. He was out of the dugout so fast when he, you know, got his ass thrown right out of the game. You know? I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah,
I love Manny. I love all these guys. You know what? You can beat it into the ground. Padre baseball has always been a slow thing. I was there at the 98 when we were, you know, rally-ragging it up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just Padre baseball, man. They're going to come through this. Sooner or later, they're going to come through it. Or we're going to get rid of them, and we're going to get a whole new batch of players.
Paul, you know?
I love it. Thank you,
appreciate
Paul.
His optimism. But if he's been around since the beginning, he knows that that's really not true. They don't usually come out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's unfortunately the history of the San Diego Padres. I would love to see them come out of it, but his optimism, which I usually share, is certainly not based in any factual history necessarily.
Well, which
from
is
the
kind,
organization.
Which is kind of the definition of faith.
Yeah, faith.
You know, it's
that's
kind
faith.
Of the definition of faith. And I listen. You know, I'm hopeful. I remain hopeful. Hope it's the hope that kills you. As Ted Lasso said, one of the greatest lines and most apt lines.
I don't need to have faith or hope to know that Manny Machado is a phenomenal baseball player, or that Fernando Tatis Jr. is loaded with an unbelievable amount of talent. I also know that Joe Musgrove is a bulldog, and Yu Darvish is one of the canniest pitchers in baseball. Dylan Cease has amazing stuff. These things I know to be true. What I don't know to be true is that they're going to be able to harness it all together this year and turn it into a winning season. Yep. But I do know that those things are all factually correct when I say them.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily equal winning. It certainly isn't right now. And they need to turn it into some wins. Let's go to Steve. You're next up on Ben and Woods. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I too have been a lifelong Padre fan, so I'm a little confused by the guy's statements. But anyway, here's the worst thing you can do to anybody is kill their incentive, in my opinion. From guys, I had guys working for me by the hour. They couldn't even pick their feet up. When I changed it to production, they turned into fast motion. It's the same thing with this Padres team. In my opinion, I hate to say it, Peter Seidler really hurt this team. You got all these guys that you gave these big contracts to, and none of them are performing. That's human nature. They got their money. They got what they needed, and they can say all they want that they care. I don't see it. I don't see that I don't think they put the same energy in today that they put in prior to trying to get these contracts. And we've seen it for almost every player on the team. They've lost their incentive.
Steve,
look at Manny Machado.
Why is it just here, though? That's the interesting part for me.
Bryce Harper got a massive deal. Shohei Ohtani just got huge money. Seems to be performing pretty well.
Yeah, Mookie Betts is very well paid.
Maybe it's something about their character, right?
Yeah, the makeup.
Maybe it's something about the character on the player. Because Manny Machado, let me tell you something. Drives me crazy with Machado. He's there grab-assing around with every player on the other teams. And I listened to an interview with Brady, and Brady said when he went into a game, he didn't talk to the other team. He didn't talk to any players. They were the enemy. He was going to, after the game, maybe he would do it, but not during the game. And I see Manny smiling and laughing with the other players all the time. Man, you guys play sports. I played. When I played against another team, I wasn't friends with them while I was playing.
Well, and it's
got any competitiveness
with it, for sure. And listen, that's certainly an opinion. I get the incredible boomer. It comes out of me too. It's when Mookie Betts slides in third, Manny picks him up, gives him a hug. We're always going to hate them more than the players do. They are one big fraternity, after all. For real, it's something I've learned doing this for 6 years that I guess I didn't really know. I really didn't realize they're all one big happy family. Honestly, there may be a couple of outliers of guys that hate each other, but for the most part, they're competing on the field. But when it's over, they'll go fishing, they'll go hunting, they'll work out together. You can love it, you can hate it. Football's a little different. You got one game a week. You will go absolutely out of your mind, I think, Steve, for 162 games of playing like that. When you see guys, I saw somebody tweeting last night, Sugar and Profar screwing around in the outfield last night, laughing, throwing the ball at each other. You almost have to have it. For 162, it's such a grind. You cannot be teeth gritted, squeezing the bat so hard for 162. You will burn out. And there have been so many players that burned out over the years playing that way. Kevin Youkilis, I've told this story a million times. One of those guys, Red Sox would be up 9-1. And he would hit a weak ground out. He'd come back. He'd throw his helmet, slam his bat. Finally, Manny and Ortiz went to him and go, hey, enough. We get it. You're a gamer. Shut up. Stop. You're driving us crazy. We have a lead or we're down 9. Like, relax. It's a long season. So I take your point. I do. I will be honest. It does drive me nuts sometimes, too. But it is what it is. This is who they are.
While it's apples and oranges, I think, comparing sports for the reasons you just mentioned, I think it's also unfair to, like, evoke the Tom Brady comparison, the Michael Jordan.
The unicorns.
The Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
The unicorns.
Would you want 26 guys on your team that have the Mamba mentality? Of course. Those guys are once in a generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody can't be like that. Yeah. If it was so easy, everybody would do it.
By the way, there are plenty of great baseball players who chat up, you know, Freddie Freeman chats up guys at first base.
Mookie
chats up Mike other Trout. Teams players all the time. They're friendly. They don't You know, they don't hate everybody on the other team.
It's just an eyewash thing.
They're still good players.
Yeah, it's just an eyewash thing. And I get it. You know, listen, man, he lives in me too. And I try to suppress him. You know that I have the incredible boomer from time to time.
All right, if you're on hold, we're going to get to more phone calls. Right now, though, at 7:09, let's get... Oh, the Incredible Boomer has come out on our YouTube stream. I love that. When we come, we're going to have a little Take on Woods action right now, though.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, Chad's going to be our contestant in Take on Woods, which is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car for directions and discounts. Go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Chad, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right, last week here of April, last day of April, in fact. Let's see if we can get you qualified for the trip for two to the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to Kool and the Gang, their residency through 2024. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster categories. We still have SEX, five song titles that begin with the word sex. We have On the Money, five song titles and artists with the word money somewhere in the answer. And our new category, Song and Dance, from the 80s. It's an all 2 second song category featuring songs from the 1980s, including the word dance in the title. So, SEX, On the Money, or Song and Dance. Chad, what would you like to play?
Let's do the first one, SEX, please.
Okay, now we're going to get a little sexy this morning. Boy. We have five song titles and artists, and they all begin with the word sex. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. Pass if you don't know an answer. Woods will then come back and we'll compare your scores. If you beat her time, we'll put you into the drawing for Vegas. First question's a 2 second song. You need to identify the title of the song and the artist to score that point. Chad, are you ready to go?
Ready. Let's do it.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. The category is SEX. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Chad. Let's take on Woods.
That's Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground.
Correct. The vocalist for which English punk band was born John Lydon, but is better known as Johnny Rotten.
That's Sex Pistols.
Correct. Which 1993 debut single by Stone Temple Pilots begins with the line, I am, I am, I am.
So come back to it.
Which 2008 song earned Kings of Leon their first Grammy nomination and hit number one in four countries, including the UK?
Sex on Fire.
Correct. Vice ranked which empowering Rihanna bonus track at number two in their top 100 songs of the year 2016?
Can you repeat that?
Vice ranked which empowering Rihanna bonus track as number two in their top 100 songs of the year 2016?
Sex. Fire.
Incorrect. Which 1993 debut single by Stone Temple Pilots begins with the line, I am, I am, I am. All right, you got three. You got Sex and Candy, Sex Pistols, and Sex on Fire. Stone Temple Pilots is Sex Type Thing, and Rihanna is Sex With Me. So that's three. Let's bring Woods back in. Give him the same five questions. Hang on line there, Chad. Well done. Good effort today. Yeah.
Come on in.
You're good. You're good to go.
I thought I saw a little hand.
Chad's score is locked in.
Chad? Right.
Yep. Woods does not get the category. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Chad.
Sex and Candy, Marcy Playground.
Correct. The vocalist for which English punk band was born John Lydon, but is better known as Johnny Rotten.
The Sex Pistols.
Correct. Which 1993 debut single by Stone Temple Pilots begins...
Sex Type Thing.
Correct. Which 2008 song earned Kings of Leon their first...
Sex on Fire.
Correct. Vice ranked which empowering Rihanna bonus track at number two in their top 100 songs of the year 2016.
Sexy Taint.
Sex With Me is that one, but a 4-3 win for Woods today.
Save him saying that.
I said it many times already.
Oh, good. All right. What are you, pervert? What was your category?
SEX.
That's the name of it? SEX.
That's the name of the category.
All right.
All answers
did
beginning.
I win?
Yes, you did. 4-3. Okay, good. Chad, thank you for playing. Not good enough today against our reigning champion.
SEX.
Stephen Woods. Sex. I don't know. Do you want to do don't do this? You want to keep taking some phone calls? It's up to you.
Padres game is kind of a don't do this.
That's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked it. I need a moment to ponder.
All right,
I really
we will
don't
ponder.
Know.
We will ponder the don't do this question of the day, and we will come back. So stay on the line if you're there. 833-288-0973. More Ben and Woods coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we have our own don't do this to worry about this morning without delving into the rest of the world of sports and beyond. Don't do this is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco makes everything better. Has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. We're going to take a couple more phone calls here. 833-288-0973. Alec has been hanging on the line. Alec, we appreciate your patience. Welcome to Ben and Woods this morning on 97.3 The Fan.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning, buddy.
I got two things to say. The first one I want to talk about, the lineup card. You really can't complain about Machado, Tatis, Xander. They're here. They're going to be here.
Yep.
If you're faithful, you just got to keep the faith. They're going to be here for a long time. You guys have been saying it. So just keep the faith with those guys. They're going to figure it out. They're studs. They're vets. We signed them for a reason.
Okay.
But what I will say is that you can't have a stretch of the lineup that's Eggy, Azucar, and Kyle Higashioka. I saw that when the lineup card came out yesterday. I was at the gym with my bud, and I said, I can't wait for there to be a big moment and some combination of this comes up. And sure enough, it happened.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know if Merrill needed a day off. That's what I thought maybe initially. But Campy could have been DHing. And then Merrill came out to pinch hit, so obviously he could run. It wasn't something lingering from his recent IL stint. And, yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I wanted to say. So I'll hear your guys' opinion on that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I had a lot of people tweeting about that last night to me. And we said it on the show yesterday. I said the risk is very much worth the reward of putting Campy in the DH spot, in my opinion. Again, these are our opinions. Take them for what they're worth. Campy in the DH spot, and if you have to pinch hit for your hitter later, that's where an Eggy Rosario comes in. Yeah, that's where an Eggy Rosario comes in, or a Tyler Wade, or one of your vaunted bench pieces. You have three essentially you have three bench players in your 7-8-9 last night. Now I understand the Kyle Higashioka is going to catch the knuckleball. I get it totally. That being said, I'm going to run that risk out there. Campy swinging a little bit more better of a hot bat. You got a lefty on the bump. Seemed like a no-brainer. Then again, you know, I don't know what their plans are. They do have plans. They do like to stick to their plans about getting guys rest. Campy's going to be catching a lot of games. It's tough when your best DH is your other catcher.
Yeah,
it's a tough look.
It's certainly, from a baseball standpoint, very defensible what Mike Schilt
did. Sure, yeah, well, he can explain
night.
It away.
You know, Jackson Merrill, who does still have the nagging injury, if you're going to give him a day off, give him another day off against a tough lefty,
yeah,
which makes some sense. Eggy, as a DH, has fared very well against left-handers. As a right-handed hitter, he has actually
done... As a DH?
Just as a batter.
As a batter.
As a batter, he hits left-handed pitchers very well. And then Higashioka, you mentioned, has been kind of Waldron's personal catcher. And
No. That's not right. He's not a personal catcher.
Well, he has been this year.
He's not a personal catcher. He's the only guy that can catch the knuckleball.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, who... Who's the guy who had his personal catcher here?
Caratini.
It was Caratini and you, right? Yeah. That's a personal catcher.
Knuckleball
catcher is a completely different animal.
I mean, if Campy most teams can't don't catch have multiple it, knuckleballers.
Right.
Higashioka can't catch it sometimes.
Correct.
It's just uncatchable at times. They think maybe Higashioka has a better chance. And he even had a catcher's interference last night,
yeah,
which is what you're trying to avoid with the knuckleball.
Which I
let it come to you and still try to catch it.
Which I also 100% get. Do we not understand 100% getting a catcher's interference when the guy's throwing a knuckleball like that?
I do.
Yeah. It sucks.
Tough to hold it against him.
We did talk about it yesterday, though, that it seems like keeping Campy's bat out of the lineup 2 days in a row,
yeah,
is a long time to go for a guy who's been one of your better hitters all season. And while he did slump about a week ago, he's kind of coming out of it again. And you would like to see him in there some way, even against a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yep. No, I think it's a fair criticism, certainly. And I'd be lying if I didn't say the exact same thing. You know?
We also don't know every detail.
Correct.
Of who is feeling good and who is not feeling
good.
Yeah,
and you know, with Merrill, again, 1AB is certainly different than playing center field and getting 4ABs. So if it's nagging, you don't want the groin is like the worst, man. It just nags and nags and nags, and you take away a lot of that kid's game. Do I expect him to be? If he's not in the lineup today, then I fear that there, you know, maybe something wrong with him that's going to need a little bit of time. Which is, hey man, if that happens, like we've said all year, this team is one injury away from being in the crapper. I mean, if you don't consider five straight losses in the crapper already, you're chilling right now in the bowl. So they're an injury away from really not looking great. And you know, it's crazy to think rookie. Making, you know, his first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in the big leagues makes that big of a difference. But when you see his bat-to-ball skills and you see what he does and how he's played and how he plays center field, you lose him and Sugar's your everyday center fielder, whew, lean. It's lean times.
I mean, there will be some injuries over the course
sure.
of the season. No team ever gets through a year without them. Padres have already had one of their pitchers go on the injured list. Fortunately, it was for the minimum, you know, 15 days, and he's going to be back tonight. Consider yourself lucky that Yu Darvish hasn't been out longer, and they haven't really had to deal with other injuries. But there will be more as the year goes on. Let's go to Alan in Point Loma, one more before the bottom of the hour. Good morning, Alan. You're on 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Everything you guys and what people call in, I think is right. I've been a Padre fan since 1953. That's when they were in the PCL. And I'd listen to Al Schuss on my little crystal radio and fall asleep. And we had one nagging problem ever since we became a major league team. And that's hitting with guys in scoring position. It's not this year, not just last year. It's been year after year with the exception of 2 years. And I tell you, It's plaguing us again. And there's something in San Diego. I don't know what it is. In the air or it's the burritos or what. But
right,
we have this serious problem, and it's not really addressed. And last night I started looking at things more analytically, and I saw our hitters taking pitches and swinging at pitches that were balls. They cannot do that in this day and age against these other teams that are really good with pitchers that are really good, and they're pitching on the edge. You notice how many pitches now these pitchers that we're against that pitch on the edge, down and out on that corner, on the right edge, inside edge, outside edge, top right hand. They're really getting good. They're better than they were before.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to step up and address this as a team. The other thing is our pitchers. I think they lose some focus. How many home runs? You said this the other day, Ben. You were really good. We have way too many home runs against our pitchers. Way too many. That one game, 5 home runs. That's ridiculous. So we have to address that problem too. And I think they lose focus because they'll throw one right down the middle. I've only seen one home run hit in the last couple of weeks where a batter hit a tremendous hit because it was a great pitch and he hit a home run off it. All the rest of them are in the hitting zone that you'd like batting practice pitches.
Too many mistakes. I agree with you by the starting pitchers. I thought the one by Waldron yesterday was a horrific pitch to Ellie De La Cruz. He was up 0-2.
What was it?
Cutter, I think.
Cutter.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was supposed to be inside. It was supposed to be up and in. And was I mean, when they showed the box with the 9 little boxes, it was in the center of the middle box.
Center cut.
There's just, you cannot throw that pitch. After that, I thought Waldron was okay. When it comes to striking out too often, it always looks ugly. Last night was by far the worst game of the season for the Padres when it came to swings and misses. But if you go analytically, they don't strike out. They're actually in the bottom half of the league in strikeouts. Other teams strike out more than the San Diego Padres. They tend to have decent plate discipline. Yesterday,
the exception
was an exception.
Yep.
And, you know, that the idea, the other starting pitcher is trying to throw pitches that look tantalizing to make you swing. And when they're not really good pitches, that's the art of pitching that they're trying to do. And last night, the combination of the Padres' bad at-bats and Nick Lodolo's pitches were really, really ugly. If I were looking to solve problems, though, that's not where I start with the San Diego Padres. Swinging at bad pitches is not my first issue that they have. It really is, you know, you're not getting extra base power from some of your stars, like Xander Bogaerts specifically. You need more OPS from guys like that, is where I look offensively. And, you know, pitching-wise, I think he is right, though. The giving up of too many home runs, you just cut that number down by 20-30%, and all of a sudden you're in a lot of more games just because you're keeping the ball in the yard with the exact same pitching everywhere else.
Yeah, we're in a death spiral right now, 5 straight. So that's you gotta find a way to win tonight against Nick Martinez. I gotta go look at his numbers. I haven't seen how he's done this year, but Nick was really solid here. So they know what they're getting. You know, a steady diet of fastballs and a really good changeup, and should be no mystery tonight for the San Diego.
I need to smile this morning. It's been a rough first 90 minutes.
Yeah, been a rough one.
We do have some audio from last night from Padres manager Mike Schilt that I hope will at least make everybody smile a little bit.
I think that's interesting timing.
Is it bad timing?
It might.
I need to switch it around a little
okay.
bit. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Because we really didn't get a don't do this. Did you see the note on the Petco Park scoreboard yesterday
no.
for Ha-Sung Kim? Said, and I hadn't seen this one before, said Ha-Sung Kim doesn't really enjoy eating bread.
That's the note?
That was the note when
like
he came up to the plate.
Came
yeah,
out. Okay.
Came up to the plate. Ha-Sung Kim doesn't really enjoy eating bread.
Okay.
And I thought to myself,
must be nice.
Maybe that's a cultural thing.
Maybe.
Is that, you know, is that common in Korea that they just don't eat a lot of bread, sandwiches? I don't really know. But I can't imagine.
So here's what is it with you people and bread?
I didn't enjoy eating bread.
That's
oh, I enjoy eating bread.
In every way that you can present it. I'll eat a bread stick.
I wish I didn't enjoy eating bread so much.
I'll do a bread stick. I'll do a crust of some kind. I'll do a sandwich. I'll do a hoagie roll.
Toast.
I'll do a rye. I won't do rye toast. I don't like that.
Matthew in the chat says bread is overrated.
It's like the least overrated thing ever. It's phenomenal.
I'll ban him from the chat.
Bad bread is terrible. Bad bread is like if you get a sandwich and it's on bad bread, it ruins your entire day. But if it's good bread, it makes the sandwich.
Fair, but you can take bad bread and turn it into like French toast. There's always a use for everything.
There's always a use. You're right.
But, it's tough because I like a good toasted sandwich, but I don't like it when the bread gets so crunchy that it just kind of crumbles everywhere with every bite.
That's bad bread. You get a sandwich at like a deli or something, and you bite into it, and it crumbles. Just, you're like, son of a bitch.
Huge mess everywhere.
I should have gotten a roll of some sort. Sometimes the bread can be too hard. Like, I like Bodine's. My wife loves Bodine's. Oh, my God.
The sourdough.
Yeah, but sometimes when you bite into a Bodine sandwich, you're like, yeah! You got to... Pull it apart, rip it off, and feel like you're going to lose a molar.
I mean, is there anything better than those warm rolls they bring to the table with the butter?
There's not.
Honestly, I could skip the rest of dinner and just keep bringing me the rolls all night.
I still won't eat a heel. Will not do it.
No.
No. I don't even pack my kids' lunches. I'll be honest. Shouldn't waste food. I get it. You can stone me in the town square. I throw the heels away. Not eating them. I'm not going to subject my kids to eating them either.
If you flip them upside down,
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
I don't think you really even notice.
No, you notice.
You think so?
1,000%. I will not eat it. I wouldn't eat it if I was starving.
Toss on Cam really won't eat it at all.
At all. None of it.
Guess that's how he stays in good shape, unlike the rest of us.
That is an interesting note.
That was a fun fact.
Guy blasts cigs, but he will not.
Did you address that last week?
We played it.
You did?
We had the Hosmer conversation when you were gone, and we did say, this is a pretty funny story. We played it.
I mean, that is very cultural.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's check traffic. We'll come back. We have Mike Schilt, some new audio in this morning when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Now, this was before the game when the moods were, maybe a little bit lighter before.
A little hopeful.
Everything that transpired last night and the 14 strikeout performance against the Cincinnati Reds. But we have played many times on this program Mike Schilts, and this was from spring training, I believe, amusing himself during a press conference, a scrum, as it were.
Priceless.
And, you know, that's fine. Everybody has their own unique laugh. I don't know. Do you like the way you laugh, Woods?
I don't really think about it.
Are you self-conscious about it? Some people are self-conscious about the way they laugh. You really shouldn't be.
No.
It's
okay. Let it flow.
However you laugh, you laugh. And Mike Schilt's got a kind of a But we got a whole different version yesterday during his pregame scrum with Padres media. Here's Mike Schilt.
He was asked about the leadoff spot, Profar, in the leadoff role.
You answered a little bit yesterday, but what do you like about Pro in the leadoff spot and kind of what he's been able to do?
I thought about it again because I do reflect on some of the answers I give you and some of the questions. And I thought, you know what, great question. And just in simple terms, when a guy's taking good at-bats, regardless of where you put him, then you can put him in leadoff. But ultimately, a lineup's about a lineup full of guys taking good at-bats. And so it shouldn't matter as much where they go. For example, yesterday, you know, Bogey wasn't leading off, but led off two innings. There's your lineup. But I get the fact it turns over, so I'm not naive to that, clearly. But I like the fact that he's left and right-handed, taking good at-bats regardless, working walks, getting big hits. But it's really just about guys taking good at-bats.
That was a whole different kind of
laugh. Well, you're listening to a man's descent into madness. That's what you're listening to as he's now the Padres skipper. And you know, listen, I
off two innings.
I see. Yeah, that's it's standard. By the end of the season, it'll be like he's going to lose it. It's a frustrating team to manage. It's a frustrating team to be a fan of. You know, the blame that goes around for the skipper last year, for the skipper this year, it is what it is. You know, you can blame the manager all you want. Guy's got to perform. The thing that gets lost in translation, I think, a lot is, and I've talked to big league skippers about it, it's not college, and it's not the minors. The minor leagues is where you'll have a guy that really gets chippy with his players. You know, he's a teacher. He's coaching them. Once you're a professional, it's not his job to motivate you. You have to find your own motivation, whatever it may be. Maybe you're just playing for a bag. Maybe you're playing for the city. Maybe you're playing for your dead father. Whatever it is, there's something that motivates these players. A skipper walking in every day. All right, guys, gather around. Here we go. Okay, we got a tough righty on the mound tonight. Ben, I need you to step up. Paulie, I need you to step up. It just doesn't happen. Not at this level.
I do think Mike Schilt's facing his first test 100%. Right now as manager of the San Diego Padres. So far, I think he's acquitted himself pretty well, especially through spring training. You can argue that maybe he was a little slow on the trigger and moving Xander down in the order, but otherwise, I think he's had a good touch on everything, and players have responded to him well. But it's different when you're in spring training. It's different when the team is playing all right. You had a couple of good wins early in the season. Things were going
tough ones that you came back and won. Yeah,
things were going, if not great, they were certainly going fine. Now they are not.
They're not.
And now you are facing your first test as manager of the Padres. How do you
first of many?
How do you
strap in?
Pull this team out of the tailspin that they're currently in?
It's the worst answer, and no one's going to want to hear it.
Because you know the only thing worse than a 3-game losing streak is a 4, and the only thing worse than a 4-game losing streak is a 5-game losing streak, and the only thing worse than a 5-game losing streak is a 6-game losing streak. Every single day that passes, the red line, you keep pushing to it, and eventually your engine's going to completely bust down, because if you lose too many games in a row, there really is no coming back from it. There's still coming. There's plenty of time to come back from this. But the more you lose, the harder it gets to come back from that hole that you are digging yourself. And how do you nip it in the bud? How do you stop it right here, right now, and turn this just into a blip rather than a defining moment of the 2024 season?
I mean, you don't. I don't want to say there's nothing you can do, but I feel like the role of a big league manager right now is really just to manage psyches. And of course, he's got his in-game management, and he needs to be sharp with his bullpen moves and be confident and have data to back up those moves. But he's a personality manager at this point. He's got to make sure that Xander Bogaerts, his head's right, you know, more so. Mike Schilt's not going to get into the cage, I would imagine, and say, all right, here's what you're doing. You're dropping your hands. Whatever. Like, that's what the hitting coach is there for. That's what the data is there to show. Mike Schilt and Skip Schumacher and Dave Roberts and everybody else in the big leagues, for the most part, I will say, guy like Mark Kotze, who's got a young team, there's still a little teaching, I think, that goes on. Guy like Ron Washington, he does a lot of teaching, but I think for the most part, you are managing personalities, you're managing the player's psyches right now, and making sure that they're up and ready to go for tonight's game. Now, I don't know what that entails at the big league level, but what it doesn't entail, I would imagine, is going in and flipping over a table. I think there's a time for that. I don't think it's quite happened yet.
Well, I think what is sometimes failed to be recognized is that some players may need a kick in the butt, other players may need a pat on the back, some may need a hug, some may need some words of confidence and encouragement. Just because a team is struggling doesn't mean, well, all 26 players, they don't have a fire in their belly. Some may need, like, hey, let's get motivated, but others may be pressing too hard. They may need to relax. You may need to take some pressure off some guys. You may need to reinstill confidence into a guy who hadn't been playing well and remind him why they're in the big leagues and why they're good players. That's the real job of a manager. It's looking at each player and trying to assess what is it that I can do to get the most out of that individual. And you can give all the fiery speeches you want, but I'm sure half of your team, they don't need a fiery speech. They're probably going, yeah, some of my teammates need this, but I need something else entirely.
It's a pretty thankless gig, you know, and again, it's 26 different personalities you have to manage on a daily basis. It's not easy. Anybody that's ever been most people I've ever managed at one time was 4, and it was really difficult because they were all 4 completely different people, and it's not an easy thing to do, and especially when you're talking about trying to get people at ultimate performance every single day for 162 games. And look, man, Connie Mack may not turn this team into a winner. You know what I mean? It for me, it doesn't really fall on the manager. It just doesn't. For me, it falls on the players, specifically the players who make the most money. That's what it falls on for me. That's kind of how I'm always going to be. You know, you get paid the most, you're expected to produce the most.
It's tough. I'm a little conflicted. I mean, we played the clip earlier in the show. Schilt gave us another, you know, got to tip your cap. And I know a lot of fans out there.
I hate that. I love Schilt, and I hate that.
And we've also talked about how Schilt's not that guy that's going to come in at least right now, and throw any of his players under the bus. And I totally understand that. So I'm sitting here and I hear these post-game press conferences after loss, after loss, after loss, and tip your hat to guys half the fan base has never even heard of before last night. And I'm like, I don't know what I want to hear from the manager after a game like that, but I know it's not, hey, you got to tip your cap.
Yeah, and again, that, I say that with all the respect in the world for Mike Shildt and his journey to becoming a big league manager, certainly.
Tip your cap is they battled, that's baseball.
It's
hey, we just haven't played our best baseball yet. You name it. It's just the same phrase. It's the different words, but the same meaning.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what I would have rather heard, because I already know he's not going to come in and just be like, yeah, it's unacceptable, you know, start calling guys out by name. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either.
It may make you feel better as a fan if he did that, but I guarantee you it would make things worse in the clubhouse.
100%.
If the manager starts pointing fingers at his own players, it's done. It's over.
Happens here every year. You know, I think about it a lot. When they talk about, you know, and Crony told us Friday, and we heard about it in spring training, and no, we're all pulling on the same end of the rope. Okay, fine. It feels like you're pulling an anchor into the water, though, you know, at this point. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I am glad that you guys are playing together and enjoying each other's time and company, and maybe it's a little bit better of a vibe than it was last year, but, you know, to lose five straight feels a little bit dire. And really, you know, you're filled with a lot of hope that Yu Darvish will come back healthy tonight. You're filled with a lot of hope that Joe Musgrove can regain what he was at the end of last year and what he's been since he's been a San Diego Padre. It's just a lot of hope right now. And I think Mike Shildt's in the exact same boat as all of us. He's hoping Yu shoves tonight. He's hoping Joe shoves the next night. He's hoping Dylan shoves. I mean, it's just hope. That's all it is. He's not going to go out there and, Joe, here's what you're doing on your slider. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, that's not what they do. He's not going to go in there and get in Yu's face tonight and light him up. You better pitch your ass off. It's not going to happen.
As would any other big league manager.
Correct.
They'd all start Yu Darvish tonight.
Correct.
And they trust.
They hope for the best.
They trust that Yu Darvish will hopefully have his, you know, a veteran Yu Darvish-like performance.
Yep.
It's all you can really do as a big league skipper. Is put your guys out there in the best position that you can to help them succeed.
But Paulie's absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't believe that we got to tip the cap last night. I think if I'm the skipper and if I'm a fan and if I'm a player, I'm so tired of tipping my cap. I really am. It's five straight games where you've tipped your cap and said, well, those guys are...
Because we really didn't get a don't do this. Did you see the note on the Petco Park scoreboard yesterday for Ha-Sung Kim? Said, and I hadn't seen this one before, said Ha-Sung Kim doesn't really enjoy eating bread.
That's the note?
That was the note when like it came up to the plate. Yeah, came up to the plate. Ha-Sung Kim doesn't really enjoy eating bread.
Okay.
And I thought to myself,
must be nice.
Maybe that's a cultural thing.
Maybe.
Is that, you know, is that common in Korea that they just don't eat a lot of bread, sandwiches? I don't really know. But I can't imagine.
So here's what is it with you people and bread?
Didn't enjoy eating bread.
That's
I enjoy eating
bread. In every way that you can present it. I'll eat a bread stick.
I wish I didn't enjoy eating bread so much.
I'll do a bread stick. I'll do a crust of some kind. I'll do a sandwich. I'll do a hoagie roll.
Toast.
I'll do a rye. I won't do rye toast. I don't like that.
Matthew in the chat says bread is overrated.
It's like the least overrated thing ever. It's phenomenal.
I'll ban him from the
channel. Bad bread is terrible. Bad bread is like if you get a sandwich and it's on bad bread, it ruins your entire day. But if it's good bread, it makes the sandwich.
Fair, but you can take bad bread and turn it into like French toast. There's always a use for everything.
There's always a use. You're right.
But it's tough because I like a good toasted sandwich, but I don't like it when the bread gets so crunchy that it just kind of crumbles everywhere with every bite.
That's bad bread. You get a sandwich at like a deli or something, and you bite into it, and it crumbles. Just, you're like, son of a bitch.
Huge mess everywhere.
I should have gotten a roll of some sort. Sometimes the bread can be too hard. Like, I like Bodines. My wife loves Bodines. Oh, my God.
The sourdough.
Yeah, but sometimes when you bite into a Bodine sandwich, you're like, yeah! You got to... Pull it apart.
Rip
it off and feel like you're going to lose a molar.
I mean, is there anything better than those warm rolls they bring to the table with the butter?
There's not.
Honestly, I could skip the rest of dinner and just keep bringing me the rolls all night.
I still won't eat a heel. Will not do it.
No.
No. I don't even pack my kids' lunches. I'll be honest. Shouldn't waste food. I get it. you can stone me in the town square. I throw the heels away. I'm not eating them. I'm not going to subject my kids to eating them either.
If you flip them upside down.
I'm not
down,
going to. So quit asking.
I don't think you really even notice.
No, you notice.
You think so?
1,000%. I will not eat it. I wouldn't eat it if I was starving.
Tosun Kim really won't eat it at all.
At all. None of it.
Guess that's how he stays in good shape, unlike the rest of us.
That is an interesting note.
That was a fun fact.
Guy blasts cigs, but he will not.
Did you address that last week?
We played it.
You did?
We had the Hosmer conversation when you were gone, and we did say, this is a pretty funny story. We played it.
I mean, that is very cultural.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's check traffic. We'll come back. We have Mike Schilt, some new audio in this morning when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Now, this was before the game when the moods were, maybe a little bit lighter before.
A little hopeful.
Everything that transpired last night and the 14 strikeout performance against the Cincinnati Reds. But we have played many times on this program Mike Schilt, and this was from spring training, I believe. Amusing himself during a press conference, a scrum, as it were.
Priceless.
And, you know, that's fine. Everybody has their own unique laugh. I don't know. Do you like the way you laugh, Woods?
I don't really think about it.
Are you self-conscious about it? Some people are self-conscious about the way they laugh. You really shouldn't be.
No.
It's okay.
Let it flow.
However you laugh, you laugh. And Mike Schilt's got a kind of a funny But we got a whole different version yesterday during his pregame scrum with Padres media. Here's Mike Schilt.
He was asked about the leadoff spot, Pro Far, and the leadoff role.
You answered a little bit yesterday, but what do you like about Pro in the leadoff spot and kind of what he's been able to do?
I thought about it again because I do reflect on some of the answers I give you and some of the questions. And I thought, you know what, great question. And just in simple terms, when a guy's taking good at-bats, regardless of where you put him, then you can put him in a leadoff. But ultimately, a lineup's about a lineup full of guys taking good at-bats. And so it shouldn't matter as much where they go. For example, yesterday, you know, Bogey wasn't leading off, but led off two innings. There's your lineup. But I get the fact it turns over, so I'm naive to that, clearly. But I like the fact that he's left right-handed, taking good at-bats regardless, working walks, getting big hits. But it's really just about guys taking good at-bats.
That was a whole different, kind
of
laugh.
Well, you're listening to a man's descent into madness. That's what you're listening to as he's now the Padres skipper. And you know, listen,
off two innings.
I see, yeah, that's it's standard. By the end of the season, it'll be like, burr, burr, burr. He's going to lose it. It's a frustrating, team to manage, it's a frustrating team to be a fan of. You know, the blame that goes around for the skipper last year, for the skipper this year, it is what it is. You know, you can blame the manager all you want. Guy's got to perform. The thing that gets lost in translation, I think, a lot is, and I've talked to big league skippers about it, it's not college, and it's not the minors. The minor leagues is where you'll have a guy that really gets chippy with his players. You know, he's a teacher. He's coaching them. Once you're a professional, it's not his job to motivate you. You have to find your own motivation, whatever it may be. Maybe you're just playing for a bag. Maybe you're playing for the city. Maybe you're playing for your dead father. Whatever it is, there's something that motivates these players. A skipper walking in every day. All right, guys, gather around. Here we go. Okay, we got a tough righty on the mound tonight. Ben, I need you to step up. Paulie, I need you to step up. It just doesn't happen. Not at this level.
I do think Mike Schilt's facing his first test
100%.
Right now as manager of the San Diego Padres. So far, I think he's acquitted himself pretty well, especially through spring training. You can argue that maybe he was a little slow on the trigger and moving Xander down in the order. But otherwise, I think he's had a good touch on everything, and players have responded to him well. But it's different when you're in spring training. It's different when the team is playing all right. You had a couple of good wins early in the season. Things were going
tough ones that you came back and won. Yeah,
things were going, if not great, they were certainly going fine. Now they are not.
They're not.
And now you are facing your first test as manager of the Padres. How do you...
First of many.
How do you
strap in,
pull this team out of the tailspin that they're currently in?
It's the worst answer, and no one's going to want to hear it.
Because, you know, the only thing worse than a 3-game losing streak is a 4. And the only thing worse than a 4-game losing streak is a 5-game losing streak. And the only thing worse than a 5-game losing streak is a 6-game losing streak. Every single day that passes, the red line, you keep pushing to it, and eventually your engine's going to completely bust down. Because if you lose too many games in a row, there really is no coming back from it. There's still coming. There's plenty of time to come back from this. But the more you lose, the harder it gets to come back from that hole that you are digging yourself. And how do you nip it in the bud? How do you stop it right here, right now, and turn this just into a blip rather than a defining moment of the 2024 season?
I mean, you don't. There's, I don't want to say there's nothing you can do, but I feel like the role of a big league manager right now is really just to manage psyches. And of course, he's got his in-game management, and he needs to be sharp with his bullpen moves and be confident and have data to back up those moves. But he's a personality manager at this point. He's got to make sure that Xander Bogaerts, his head's right, you know, more so. Mike Schilt's not going to get into the cage, I would imagine, and say, all right, here's what you're doing. You're dropping your hands, whatever. Like, that's what the hitting coach is there for. That's what the data is there to show. Mike Schilt and Skip Schumacher and Dave Roberts and everybody else in the big leagues, for the most part, I will say, guy like Mark Kotze, who's got a young team, there's still a little teaching, I think, that goes on. Guy like Ron Washington, he does a lot of teaching. But I think for the most part, you are managing personalities. You're managing the player psyches right now and making sure that they're up and ready to go for tonight's game. Now, I don't know what that entails at the big league level, but what it doesn't entail, I would imagine, is going in and flipping over a table. I think there's a time for that. I don't think it's quite happened yet.
Well, I think what is sometimes failed to be recognized is that some players may need a kick in the butt. Other players may need a pat on the back. Some may need a hug. Some may need some words of confidence and encouragement. Just because a team is struggling doesn't mean, well, all 26 players, they don't have a fire in their belly. Some may need, like, hey, let's get motivated. But others may be pressing too hard. They may need to relax. You may need to take some pressure off some guys. You may need to reinstill confidence into a guy who hadn't been playing well and remind him why they're in the big leagues and why they're good players. That's the real job of a manager. It's looking at each player and trying to assess, what is it that I can do to get the most out of that individual? And you can give all the fiery speeches you want, but I'm sure half of your team, they don't need a fiery speech. They're probably going, yeah, some of my teammates need this, but I need something else entirely.
It's a pretty thankless gig, you know, and again, it's 26 different personalities you have to manage on a daily basis. It's not easy. Anybody that's ever been most people I've ever managed at one time was 4, and it was really difficult because they were all 4 completely different people. And it's not an easy thing to do, and especially when you're talking about trying to get people at ultimate performance every single day for 162 games. Look, man, Connie Mack may not turn this team into a winner. You know what I mean? It for me, it doesn't really fall on the manager. It just doesn't. For me, it falls on the players, specifically the players who make the most money. That's what it falls on for me. That's kind of how I'm always going to be. You know, you get paid the most, you're expected to produce the most.
It's tough. I'm a little conflicted. I mean, we played the clip earlier in the show. Schilt gave us another, you know, got to tip your cap. And I know a lot of fans out there.
I hate that. I love Schilt, and I hate that.
And we've also talked about how Schilt's not that guy that's going to come in, at least right now, and throw any of his players under the bus. And I totally understand that. So I'm sitting here, and I hear these post-game press conferences after loss, after loss, after loss, and tip your hat to guys half the fan base has never even heard of before last night. And I'm like, I don't know what I want to hear from the manager after a game like that, but I know it's not, hey, you got to tip your cap.
Yeah, and again, I say that with all the respect in the world for Mike Schilt and his journey to becoming a big league manager, certainly.
Tip your cap is they battled, that's baseball.
It's
hey, we just haven't played our best baseball yet. You name it. It's just the same phrase. It's the different words, but the same meaning.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what I would have rather heard, because I already know he's not going to come in and just be like, yeah, it's unacceptable, you know, start calling guys out by name. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either.
It may make you feel better as a fan if he did that, but I guarantee you it would make things worse in the clubhouse.
100%.
If the manager starts pointing fingers at his own players, it's done. It's over.
Happens here every year. You know, I think about it a lot when they talk about, you know, and Crony told us Friday, and we heard about it in spring training, and no, we're all pulling on the same end of the rope. Okay, fine. It feels like you're pulling an anchor into the water, though, you know, at this point. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I am glad that you guys are playing together and enjoying each other's time and company, and maybe it's a little bit better of a vibe than it was last year, but, you know, to lose five straight feels a little bit dire. And really, you know, you're filled with a lot of hope that you, Darvish, will come back healthy tonight. You're filled with a lot of hope that Joe Musgrove can regain what he was at the end of last year and what he's been since he's been a San Diego Padre. It's just a lot of hope right now. And I think Mike Schilt's in the exact same boat as all of us. He's hoping. He's hoping you shoves tonight. He's hoping Joe shoves the next night. He's hoping Dylan shoves. I mean, it's just hope. That's all it is. He's not going to go out there and, Joe, here's what you're doing on your slider. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what they do. He's not going to go in there and get in Yu's face tonight and light him up. You better pitch your ass off. It's not going to happen. It's not.
As would any other big league manager.
Correct.
They'd all start Yu Darvish tonight.
Correct.
And they trust.
They hope for the best.
They trust that Yu Darvish will hopefully have his, you know, a veteran Yu Darvish-like performance.
Yep.
It's all you can really do as a big league skipper. Is put your guys out there in the best position that you can to help them succeed.
But Paulie's absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't believe that we got a tip the cap last night. I think if I'm the skipper and if I'm a fan and if I'm a player, I'm so tired of tipping my cap. I really am. It's five straight games where you've tipped your cap and said, well, those guys are big leaguers too. You know, I mean, I get it, but I don't think anybody wants to hear that.
Every pitcher in the big leagues is a good pitcher.
Like, for sure.
They wouldn't be there if they weren't good pitchers.
For sure.
And, you know, you go up against Ohtani, who's just on a run where he's going eight innings or something. Like, that's a guy you tip your cap to.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, these guys that we've seen over the years. Those are the guys you tip your cap to.
Yeah, the Tyler Glasnows and all that. Yeah, I mean, give me some good ABs, fight, you know,
Nick Lodolo,
up there.
Yeah. That's when you say, we got to reevaluate because we need to jump on a guy like that.
No doubt.
I mean, he looked like Randy freaking Johnson. I mean,
he was throwing hard with a lot of break.
He's throwing 94 miles an hour. He had a lot of break.
He had a lot of break.
Everybody in the league throws 94 miles an hour and has break.
Welcome to the big leagues. That's
you can't hit that. What are you doing here?
That's what you get every night. You know, swinging at balls out of the zone and bad ABs and just feeble ground outs. And it was tough. Last night was a tough one. Probably my least favorite. My favorite loss of the year. My least favorite loss of the year. That one was really tough.
Yeah, the loss to the Rockies was
painful. But it was also
they played well for 7.5 innings of that game.
Scored 9 runs
and put themselves in position for an easy win. And it was ripped away and it was horrible. That game yesterday, they just never put themselves in a position to do anything. We had a caller who talked about hitting with runners in scoring position has been a problem. Well, you got to get some runners on base to have a problem with hitting in runners in scoring position. They could only do that in 2 innings in the entire game yesterday.
Maybe it just made sense to me. I need money in the chat. Says, imagine starting the game 2 to 4 runs down before you take an AB. It's got to be pretty draining. Maybe that's why they're so bad at home.
Even Mike Schilt laughed about it. He goes, I guess the new ground rules in baseball are we just start down 1-0 every game.
Well, and maybe that's why they're so bad at home, because their starting pitchers are allowing first inning runs damn near every night out. And they have to climb out of a hole.
So you
go on the road, you hit first, you score. I love it.
That's the best theory I've heard so far.
That probably is what makes the most sense. I mean, you're down 2-3 runs every friggin' time before you come.
Starting pitching has struggled.
Yep.
At home, the starting pitchers have to go out there first. You're putting yourself in a bad spot.
So Robert Suarez is going to open the game.
Fine. Do something.
Try it.
Do anything. Anything. Anything different, man.
We are halfway home here on a spicy Tuesday here on Ben and Woods. Come back. We've got Jesse Agler, AJ Cassavell still to come, all in the second half of the program this morning on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.